Reina Zabiliak, Reel 3.
About your time in hiding, when you left the ghetto, could you tell me more about the preparations for the uprising? What did you know about this?
I didn't know exactly. My husband was working in the Hofkolonne. It means he was doing odd jobs in the ghetto. And all those young men who worked there, they were preparing to fight the Germans. And my father as well. And they decided to collect money and to buy guns and ammunition to bring to the ghetto. The people which used to bring the uniforms and who used to take the uniforms, they used to bring the ammunition to the ghetto. And my husband was the first one to go out from the ghetto, and he used to get it outside the ghetto. And they didn't want, the Poles didn't want Polish zlotys, they wanted gold and dollars. Then it wasn't so easy, but still they've done it. And my husband also helped to smuggle out children from the ghetto. And say little babies, then he used to make like a box case, put on something on the mouth, and put it, you know, rubbish when they collected from the ghetto, and he used to put on rubbish on top of them, and like this they smuggled out children from the ghetto.
Where did they go?
They gave it to Christian families. And, you know, the families used to arrange where those kids would go, but he used to help them to take them out. And in our flat, they used to meet only five. One five didn't know from the other five, those about the fighters. One five didn't know from the other five. And like this, they used to help each other. It was very sad. And then one day we knew that the Germans are going to make that they are coming to take Jews, even those which work in the factories. And my husband built a shelter for us to get in. And the way he's done it, he papered a room in a few hours. And we went all on the stomachs to go into that room. It was all closed in. And funny enough, that when I was already outside the ghetto, and he said to my father, we wrote a letter that he should come out, that he said, I am like the captain on the boat. When all the people will be safe, then I will come out. But unfortunately, it didn't happen like this. Because we were already outside the ghetto, and the Germans on Pesach, you know, on that Jewish holiday, Easter, they went into the ghetto, and then the Jews start fighting. and my father was with his friends in a bunker. And one of my friends knocked off the wall from the ghetto with a hand grenade, and I don't know how, till this very day, he went to the woman what we were in hiding, and he said Litvak is alive. And we had a friend, a Pole, and this Pole had an assessment, and the assessment for money said he will go to bring my father out from the ghetto, but he was scared to go during the night, because the Jews come out during the night, and during the day they are hidden. Then he took this boy with him to the ghetto, and he left him overnight, and the next day he's supposed to come to collect him with my father. And when that boy went to the place where my father was, they said he got killed. Why? Because the Germans arrived there to burn the houses. Then my father, with a friend, went with a, he had some hand grenades, and they throw it on the German lorries. And when he came down, they shot him. And they found my father's body. Then I knew quite a lot about it. And I was already outside the ghetto. Because when we left the ghetto, we had 3 apartments prepared. In case one apartment will get burned, that we should be able to go to another. Then one apartment, they took us straight away. And we had 2. And it was also very hard.
They were in the ghetto, were they, the apartments?
No, outside the ghetto, by the Poles. We bought apartments outside the ghetto for the Poles. And one apartment, we bought in the apartment, they took it away. Then we were left with 2. And from the 2, it was once a time that we were left with nothing.
How was it possible for you to live outside in those apartments? Did you have false papers?
We had false papers, but I couldn't go up. We had to pay the Poles a lot of money for keeping us, because they would also be shot if the Germans would catch us there.
Who were these Poles who helped you with these apartments?
They were ordinary people. And they've done it all for money. And to be honest, when I think about it, I shiver. First of all, I look 100% Jewish in Poland. I couldn't go out because as soon as I went out, I was blackmailed. Or the Germans, the Poles would give me away to the. Then it was very hard. I am going to tell you the story about this ring, because this will be very interesting to you. My husband was building a wall in the ghetto. And a man came with a diamond, and he said he needs money if he would buy the diamond. My husband bought the diamond and sewed the diamond into the fly of his trousers. He never told anybody about it. Then he went out from the ghetto. We were outside the ghetto. And the woman what we were in hiding, actually the mother of the woman, she had a lover, and the lover started blackmailing us. Then I had another uncle there, my mother's sister's husband, who was before the war the bodyguard of Marshal Piłsudski and then Ritz Schmigły. And one day he went out on the street and he found a higher officer from the Polish army who he used to be under him while he was working for. And he said, if you ever need a place of hiding, you come to me and I will give it to you. When this boyfriend of this woman came to my husband and he asked him for a, he wanted to blackmail her, then my husband said to my uncle he should go and speak to that Pole about the places. And he found two places, one for my mother with my that uncle and one for me and my husband. And this place what he found for me and my mother and my husband, it was where his wife with the children were on holiday. And that was an attic. And that landlord wanted to take us that we would pay money. And it was an attic. It didn't have any boards, just sand. And gave us two sacks filled with straw to sleep on them. You know what, I can't realize where we went to the toilet there. And then he used to bring us food, but we couldn't straighten up properly. Then in the evening, we used to go into his wife there and to sit. One day we came, and her husband came, the high officer, and he said he doesn't feel well, and he wants to have a drink. And he gave us a drink, but he put in something into the drink, he doped us, and we slept for 48 hours. And all the money what we had, he took away. But when my husband touched the fly of his trousers, the diamond was there. And then he told me about the diamond. Then my husband decided, found a knife there, and he was, you know, sharpening the knife, and he said to the wife, if he won't give me half of the money back, I will kill him. And funny enough, they gave us half of the money back, and we ran away. And we went back to the place, and we paid money to the blackmailer, to be able to be in hiding there. And it was a whole story because then, I tell you, it is impossible. If I would sit down and write a book, I would never be able to concentrate and to write everything what it went through in those days.
And that's the diamond of your ring, is it?
And this is the diamond.
So you were able to keep it through the war?
Yes, then after, listen, he was sent as a Pole because I was liberated before them because I was blackmailed. It was a whole story. To save them, I had to go somewhere else. And after the war, and he was sent as a Polish prisoner of war to Germany.
Your husband?
Yes.
Were you married then?
No.
He was still your uncle at
that
stage.
He was my uncle, and I never thought that we would ever marry. And and he was sent as a Polish prisoner of war to Germany. And then he came back and he gave me the diamond and he said, this will be your engagement ring. And he left with his little girl for England in 1946 in March. And he gave me this diamond. And he wrote to me that I should set it. And this is my engagement. I got a permission from the Polish government to take it out. When I came to the custom, they said it is a too big diamond, you can't take it out. Then I gave it to my mother and she smuggled it out of Poland. And this is my engagement. And I tell you, I never part with it.
It must be very precious, yes. You know, all that diamond's gone through.
Yes.
Yes. So, Willie, you went to numerous places in hiding, it seems, yes. Rena. Is that right?
That's right.
Yes. What was it like for you, you know, living that sort of life?
First of all, you've got to understand, I was a young girl. I couldn't study, I couldn't do anything. For instance, but those Poles, what we were, what it was a good place to hide what we paid money to the blackmailer.
Whereabouts was that? That
in Warsaw. On the Przechodnia number 4. Number one. Because how did we know about this woman? She was a caretaker. And my father's business was Przechodnia 4, before the war. And this woman was the caretaker, Przechodnia 1, Przechodnia 3. Then we had a flat, Przechodnia 3, for her daughter and son-in-law and so on. And she was the caretaker, and it was a very big block of flats. And from her little place there, where she was the caretaker, there was a bell to our flat, that in case the Germans or the Polish police or they put on the hand on the coat and the bell rang there. And that was a fantastic place, but it didn't, we had to change the hiding places 3 times there. It was very difficult. Can you imagine, if you were in Poland, then you saw the big ovens in Poland that people warm their flats, or perhaps today they don't do it. And I went in with my husband into such an oven. And they put on another oven next to it to warm the room, and when we went into the oven, then the things from the fire went on us. It was very difficult, the life in hiding. And those Poles, which they supposed to be good, they were horrible. For instance, one day I said, it is my birthday. Then they said they want a drink. Then we gave them money and we had a drink and he wanted another drink. Then I said my mother got a drink and he went to the room there where we were to look in the bags. But in that bag was a lot of money. And he touched the money. And my husband pulled him away. And we knew that it was already night, that they can't do anything about it. That in the... we never slept the whole night. And we decided that my uncle will take the whole pass with the money and take it out, hide it in the other flat, and in the meantime he will buy a bottle of vodka and we will pack it in the same racks and show him, you see, you didn't find, but here's another bottle. And that's what we've done. Otherwise, they would kill us. Or, for instance, you know, things like this happened that I sometimes can't imagine that it was possible to go through it.
Yes, it must have been very dangerous for you at times, wasn't it?
It was so... Well, first of all, as I told you, I don't look Christian. And those days you used to wear a hat. Then I wore a hat with a veil to cover my nose, because my nose is proper Jewish. Then, if they would see me, they would know who I am.
Did you go out often?
No.
In your hat?
No. I went out, whenever I went out, I was always caught, blackmailed, beaten. You see, we had a lot of trouble with my stepdaughter. She was a little girl. And the Poles, where she was there, the woman there, was very horrible to her. And she gave her, you see, I tell you, it is a special part of a story which I've got to start from the beginning to tell you about this little girl. This was my husband's younger daughter,
who later became your stepdaughter.
That's right. And when I left the ghetto, my father said to me that he got one diamond left from the family, and this is the little girl. And it is my duty as a woman to look after her, because a man never looks after a child like a woman. And I knew that that's what I've got to do. And this girl, when we went on the selection, we didn't know it is going to be a selection. But in the block of flats where we used to live, there was a lady who didn't look Jewish, and she said she's going out and she can take this girl out with her. And we gave her this girl, and she went out with her, and the Polish police caught him and put him to prison. And the Polak, which my father knew, he came to us and he said to us that she is in prison and it has to cost so and so much money to let them out. And Daddy gave the money and they were released. But this lady took the child, her own child, went somewhere else. And this Polak had a mother-in-law, and he gave this girl to the mother-in-law she should look after. And this mother-in-law was a witch. And she was looking after her. She didn't give her to eat. And that time when I told you that when they blackmailed us, we went there where she was there. Her name was Sylvia.
Sylvia was the name of your stepdaughter?
Yeah. Then we went there where she was there, and I saw that she got fingers full of pus, and she was very thin and so on. And this fellow was married the second time because his first wife died, and he had two children from his first wife. Then we decided that as the children are going for a summer holiday to such a hotel, this little girl, we pay for her, they should take her also to a hotel. Instead to send her to the hotel, that old woman, she gave her to a beggar who was begging by the church. And this beggar used to go with the little girl to the market, collect pieces of cabbage or potato. And she used to give her this to eat. Then it came time that they came back from holiday, the children, but they didn't bring her back. Then my husband kicked up a row, I've got to have her. And she went and she brought her back. When she brought her back that time, I went out on the street with the people what I was there, and they sent me blackmailers. They took me everything away, and we couldn't bring the child to us. We had to go to another flat. What shall I tell you? It took about 2 months, and we went back to that flat again to pay the blackmail and to pay them more money. And we brought Sylvia to us. We brought Sylvia to us and we sent her to a doctor with my other uncle. And the doctor said she got beginning of tuberculosis. We used to feed her on the middle of the night. And when she put her head on my chest, it was full of lice because they didn't clean it. And she was a little girl. Then I cleaned the lice, I cleaned everything. The fingers of the paws we cleaned. And she was getting better. But we knew it is not a place for her to be with us, because in case you will be caught, she will be caught and she will be killed. Then we knew another woman, which was a caretaker, and this woman took her. And there she was safe, and she used to have a teacher who used to teach her play piano, and she used to study a little bit. And she was with that woman till after the war. But I was, because those blackmailers, I went out one day and the blackmailers called me again.